The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board, the Iron Man. We will have John Wilner, as we do every Monday on this show. John Wilner, none better than John Wilner around the Pac-12, national voice. His impressions of the Kenny Dillingham hire, assistant coaching news that is happening today. We'll get into that in a bit. The buzz around Arizona State. I had a coach call me this morning, and he said, why is everybody talking about the Cardinals? I'm like, well, management tells them that they're the Super Cardinals and that they have to be talked about. And we saw what happened yesterday. It was entertaining. I watched just like you. Kind of seen this movie before. Kind of know. I've seen Titanic, too. I kind of know how it goes. And, you know, no one is really grasping, in my opinion, I shouldn't say no one. I think most people are grasping the seismic finally after years of, oh, yeah, we care about Arizona recruits. No, you don't. Prove it. You've not gotten many. And many times they want to come here. And you don't even reach out to them. So, like, finally, the Kenny Dillingham story came to fruition over the weekend. And we can move on and get involved in what is going on, not just with Arizona State. Like, I thought the Territorial Cup was very entertaining. I did. I don't need to see Sparky and Wilbur throwing haymakers as a way of, look at our social media. We've got Sparky and Wilbur. I don't know. Does stuff like that happen with Michigan and Ohio State? I want us to be the best, not filling time where a game starts out on FS2. As what happened the other day. Like, enough of the nonsense, okay? And for both programs. I mean, U of A finished with 5 wins. It's terrific. I'm very happy. I have no dog in the fight. Very happy to see that that program is off the mat. That was the worst program in all of college football. Outside of maybe one other that I will get to momentarily when talking about Charlie Regal. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. We appreciate Desert Financial Credit Union and their ongoing support and all of our partners, a dozen of them that say we believe in what you're doing. We're in year number 12 of doing this. And thanks to all those that are involved in front of, behind the scenes, and all that. The backdrop, you know, it is what it is. I don't have an elf on the shelf, but it's the holiday season. And with that, we'll start with Kenny Dillingham. So, you know, I watched yesterday's press conference. Press conferences, that was a press conference that was going to be a win no matter what was said. It was. And it should have been. Because you finally feel like, in some regard, while there is still the looming NCAA stuff that some just try to say, the feel good about it yesterday was on many levels. I wrote about it last night. When Nap Lawrence, who I've known a long time, go all the way back to the mid-90s when I'm doing shows with Bruce Snyder and Jake Plummer and the Rose Bowl team, Kyle Murphy and Juan Roque and all those nitwits would come down to the radio station back in the day or at Monty's, and we'd screw around and we'd have fun. There was a kid named Steve Nash who would sit over in the corner, some dude named Jeremy Roenick that had just come into town, and they'd hang out and they were kind of like, I talked to Jake Plummer. It was so cool. Different time, different era. And the late Bruce Snyder was fun. It was great. Yesterday there was some of that. Knapp used to come to the shows at Monty's and he'd sit in the front row and he would ask questions of Bruce and he would take it all in. And so when I heard yesterday that he said, I'm going to give $1 million, I go to a thing that Knapp and some of his business people do on some Mondays in Chandler. Don't go all the time, but it's a group of old-time ASU big cigars, I call them, boosters. And it's great just to sit and chop it up. And sometimes it's just a bitch session. Sometimes U of A people come. It's funny. Just kind of like, well, you know, it's not nasty. It's not silly. It's not juvenile. It's just people that have been here in the state for a long time. And it's kind of cool to take it all in. Just kind of sit back. Coach Guano, Case Hatch, the Borghese were there when I went. I was 4 weeks ago. You're just chilling. I'm not cheering. I'm just getting to know them, seeing what they're all about, hearing some things that they're working on, things other than just football. What happened yesterday, though, was It had been in the works for a while, from my view, my opinion. Pretty obvious that there were some dots that were connecting all the way back to when the first day that it was announced that Herm was put in the permanent transfer portal and Sean came in. If Borgay plays quarterback against Stanford, is it a completely different story? I don't know. You know, I still have people that tell me that were part of the Herm regime that Herm was telling people he was aware, was ready, was all teed up in August before he was hired after Todd was let go. It's the way it works in coaching searches. I don't know if that's how it went here. I'd like to know what the search firm got paid on this one, because it's like, really? What else did you have to do? So Dillingham held the room yesterday. The whole thing about his age, I don't care. Don't care. We have to have talking points to fill time, right? We have to have gab session talking points. And there's not really one that's needed here. Kenny was here. I don't know Kenny. I don't know him. It's fine. I'm going to get to know him, of course. But from a distance, he's got a resume. My only tie to him really is the Purdy's. Chubba Purdy was with Kenny at Florida State. It's my only tie. And Charlie Regal, who I spoke to a bit ago about being added to the staff. I'll get into that here momentarily. But the things that were said yesterday were things that needed to be said for, I don't know, the last 15, 20 years. They're things that I've heard at times when coaches get hired of, oh, yeah, we're going to recruit Arizona kids. And they don't. And then I get the phone call or I get the text of like, oh, you're being unfair. You're not talking about this. No, I'm not. I've been dead flat right. And I'm going to continue to be on this case. And it's just a different time now. It's a different time. I'm tired of six wins. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of what happened in Tucson. Tired of it. I think what Jed's done there is terrific. It's tremendous. Tremendous. Okay? This needs to be, in this new world that we're in, the idea of, well, I want our rival to be awful, and we're just going to dominate. It's fine to dominate on the one day, but Michigan-Ohio State is Michigan-Ohio State. That game was, the number I saw was north of 30 million television sets. 30 million for one game. The game. Gus Johnson's calling it. No offense, FS1. Start out on FS2. NASCAR announcer calling the game. Not a shot. It's just, it's not Gus Johnson. It's not Kirk Herbstreit. Having game day show up, or Big Fox, having Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush tackle each other on a fake grass field in a set needs to happen at either university. I don't know which one's closer. I would think yesterday is a very big step forward in a positive direction. No reason to sit here and talk about the past, turn the page, but there is a point in time where history does need to be brought up, because it has repeated itself over and over and over. The thing about Kenny that has been really interesting to me is, for the last couple months, it's the people that could be associated with the staff. Some of these people I know very well. Not my place to sit here. I'm not sitting here trolling for clicks. I'm not charging admission. I'm not doing any of that nonsense. So I'm not going to sit here and float names. When they come through, as Charlie Regal and Vince Amy did today, then we'll talk about it. So I called Charlie. He was in his car. He was on his way to the airport. He's catching a flight down here to Phoenix. He informed his team. He made the decision last night. We had a couple of long conversations in recent weeks. Pretty evident that something was going to happen. Those conversations are our conversations. Consider him a friend, long time. Today he said, though, and he'd struggled with this. So his mother... And the story's up on the site. Jordy put it up. I called Jordy after Charlie and I spoke. You know, Charlie's mom and mother-in-law are getting up there in age. And Charlie's a family guy. Everybody talks about being family. Charlie's about his family. He took his family. I asked him when he was driving. I said, so if I would have told you a year ago at this time that you would be in a position to go to Oregon if Justin Wilcox went to Oregon, and instead he doesn't go, so you decide to go take a job that nobody's won at, but you're a head coach. You're finally a head coach, something you've aspired to be all the way back when he's at Chaparral. I remember having a beer with him and Steve Bellis, like in 08, and it was both of them wanting to be head coaches. And they just finished doing a TV show with me over at 3. He said, so you were a head coach. You did it. But you also took on a program that doesn't have the resources, and home came open. So if I had told you that, look, Oregon's going to be there, but you're going to go take Idaho State, and you're going to go lead a program from the ashes, at least you're the head coach. But Kenny Dillingham would leave Florida State, and he would go to Oregon, and you're tied to Kenny. And then Herm would get shown the transfer portal door permanently, and ASU would come open, and Kenny's name would be all over it, and he's laughing. He's like, yep, yep, yep. But he said it's come full circle. And Vince Amy, Charlie had Vince on his staff up at Idaho State. Vince resigned today. He's coming here. He's a very good football man. Very good Sun Devil, I might add. This was the plan, he told me. It's come full circle that one of us, you know, whether it was Charlie, whether it was Kenny, one of them was going to get a spot in a place. It just happens to be home for them. And when you have aging parents and you want your grandkids, you want your kids around grandmothers, you want to have that space. And that's a big reason for him. Family is his deal. And he gets to come here. Are there trap doors? Of course. There's not really a safe haven when it comes to college coaches, right? I mean, the detractors that say, well, you point out that every 5 years ASU changes coaches, so everybody else does. What's the big deal? No, it's usually around year 3.5 where things aren't going well, and it's pretty obvious. Are we going to do anything here about it? And then year 4, it's miserable, and then year 5, they're shown the door. And it's 6 wins and go into El Paso. I don't sense that that is the way that it's going to go moving forward, at least from this coaching staff. I can't sit here today and say, wow, everything is fixed. Everything is figured out. What's behind door number 3 with the NCAA? What is going to happen to the athletic director? The athletic director was there yesterday. People internally said, Ray read the room. Well, it's fine. I think I, like many, have lost faith in Ray, and it's probably best for the organization to move on. But now you've hired this coach. Next AD comes in, they're going to want their own guy. That's how it goes. That's how it works. When Ray was hired, Todd wasn't his guy. It was pretty evident. He's not going to be here. So there were things for Charlie to work through. There were. And they won one game at Idaho State. You may be saying, well, you know, why would he leave up there? Maybe they don't have the facilities. Not maybe, they don't. The resources. It's 20 degrees today up there. A lot of reasons. But I think if you look at the staff just in its infancy, two big names in the local scene, great. In my opinion, there will be 3 more names that you will be picking your job off the floor if they come to fruition. I don't know the coaching pool. I don't know the number. I don't know if they're going to get across the finish line. I'm not going to sit here all day and all night and work on this stuff. But I do know that the guys that are in place and the names that I'm hearing, and some of them are elsewhere, it's fine. But for me, I'm not going to sit here and throw names out and say, wouldn't it be great if X took over? And see, I said X's name, so I got it all figured out. No, that's not happening. I think it's a good day. And by the way, ASU deserves the credit today rather than let's figure out what happened to the Cardinals yesterday. Let's spend hours on the Cardinals, shall we? I mean, it's from last March to now. If you've noticed, I've dialed it back because it's a bleep show. From last March to all the things that have happened to where we are today. I mean, is there really anything that is must see? Anything? DeAndre Ayton was great over the weekend. Watch the games. Sat in here, checked them out. Probably spent too much time in here decorating and watching sports over the weekend. That's what I do. And DeAndre was great. It's November. Get back to me in April, like the 3rd week in April. And if DeAndre is playing like he played the last 2 games in regular season, who cares, in late November against Sacramento and Utah? Well, we got something. It's nice to see. It's nice to see. I think what's going on in college basketball in our state is awesome right now. It really is. You know, U of A 6-0. And they look every bit the part of a team that's going to be playing late into March. Bobby Hurley, 6-1. I don't care if it's Alcorn State. This is the time of year where you're going to have some of those games. You do what you're supposed to do. And now you've conference play. They're at Colorado and Stanford this week. U of A, they've got Utah this week. So I'm really big on what's going on in the college basketball scene. For people that say, I was with some people over the weekend that said, man, everything is really bad in Phoenix right now. It's really bad in our state. Like, I don't know. I don't think so. I thought the Territorial Cup was a pretty entertaining game. I think the high school playoffs, I was on a sideline Friday night, chopping it up, watching my son's high school move into state semifinals. It's kind of cool. Open division playoffs this weekend, it's great. College basketball, great. Got a change at the head coach at Arizona State, bringing in some guys that truly are committed, not talking about, not just kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever, local kids, we don't want them. None of that. We now have a change. And the Cardinals are the Cardinals. They're the super Cardinals. I mean, the owners sat there and said, hey, you know what? I believe in Cliff. I believe in Kyler. I believe in Steve. They all deserve extensions. Here we are. We really need to go down play by play by play on that. So John Wilner is next. And I'll have a little bit more on my conversation with Charlie Regal after John Wilner. But we have John on the other side. It's a busy Monday. Thanks for being with us. John Wilner with us now, all things around the Pac-12. I need an hour with you today, by the way.
Yes.
I don't have an hour, but John Wilner, of course, nationally syndicated, does the Pac-12 inside and out. Wilner Hotline, you can get all of his content on the website or follow him on his social media channels in particular. All right, so let's just go off the top. You and I have been talking about Kenny Dillingham since September, so this was no big secret. I would just say the way the game ended with Oregon State, a little bit of a lead balloon from my view. I mean, the offense of Oregon did nothing, blew a big lead. That to the side, do you have some thoughts on Dillingham taking over at ASU and the job he's taking in, going into?
Yeah, you know, Oregon's offense was a little bit of a lead balloon for the last few weeks, right? They had 3 points in the fourth quarter against Washington, blew a lead, 3 points, I think, in the second half against Utah, 3 points in the fourth quarter against Oregon State. The Ducks had some trouble, but it's hard to, you know, extrapolate from there in terms of judging ASU's hire, right? This has been the obvious hire for months, and part of it is because of Dillingham's background and his connections to ASU and the Phoenix area, and part of it is because of ASU's circumstances, right? I mean, I don't think Arizona State had a ton of proven winners at the major college level to choose from because of the situation, mostly with the NCAA and, you know, the kind of the way things have been managed there for the last year and a half. Right. I mean, they needed somebody who wanted the job. Dillingham clearly wanted the job. They needed somebody who was going to be willing to deal with whatever repercussions there are from the NCAA. Dillingham's willing to deal with that. So I kind of view it as a risk, but it's a good risk.
No,
it's a smart risk.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'll go all the way back to the late Bruce Snyder, who I covered here. And then you go to Dirk Cutter, who just wasn't cut out for the college game with the boosters and all that stuff. And he went on, had a great career in the NFL. That led to Dennis Erickson, who was just at the end of the rope getting some checks. That led to June Jones for about 30 minutes. That led to Todd Graham, who spent 1 year at Pitt, was jumping around jobs. And that reputation, Todd turned some things in the right direction, led to the pro model. You and I could do an hour on the pro model with Herm. And that led to investigation by the NCAA. That led to every assistant coach under Herm no longer in college football, except Sean Aguano. And so here we are. And I feel like I don't see another option. And the fact that they moved swiftly was smart, John. It was smart for them because I was hearing, well, we'll just go off the portal. We'll get our coach hired in mid-December. You know, you can't do that because the portal is going to swing wide open down here today. I firmly believe you're going to see a bunch of guys go in, but they go in everywhere. Doesn't matter. USC's going to have guys go in the portal. Georgia's going to have guys go in the portal. So the portal is the portal. The fact that a rich booster stood up and said, I'm going to give $1 million to the NIL collective, that was eye-popping to me because they don't have that part figured out.
They don't. And if you're an ASU booster, you could understand why you have been hesitant, because there's been so much chaos and uncertainty. Now you've got a little bit of clarity on that front. So, but the NIL is only part of,
yes,
you know, that's one pixel in the, you know, big the canvas pixel. Of
big pixel.
It is big, but you know, it for ASU to get where it wants to go and where it hasn't ever been in the Pac-10, Pac-12 era, a consistent contender, you know, Dillingham's got a lot of work to do. It's going to take time. You know, he's got, I would have to imagine ASU fans are willing to, given the mess currently that he's inheriting, they're going to give him time. But, you know, in 3-4 seasons, he's going to absolutely have to be producing.
Please don't use the term sleeping giant in whatever you write.
I don't think so. I to me, ASU is in a medically induced coma, not a sleeping giant.
Man, you know? When I hear the, you know how many years I've heard, we're a sleeping giant. No. Get giant out, you're sleeping. That's it, you know. And it's just a continual fumble down here until, you know, yesterday had a feel of, okay, they got the stadium redone a few years back, which goes on the back of Todd Graham. Todd Graham was the guy that made that happen. And now you have a young, fiery assistant coach who's risen through the ranks, who's from the Valley. I believe his staff is going to be loaded up with people with Valley ties, which may not be the best thing. Want to see some national reach.
Well, and you need to see some guys who know how to coach, right? I mean, it's one thing to hire a young head coach who then hires a whole bunch of young, energetic assistants and coordinators to recruit, but they got to be able to coach, right? And there's some good coaches. Even once USC and UCLA leave, there's good coaches in the conference and good coordinators. And I think that his staff is going to be absolutely vital.
Yep.
And it can't be all 30-somethings who are full of energy. He's got to hire somebody who's been a coordinator, especially on defense. That's his most important hire. Since his background is on offense, his defensive coordinator is essentially the 1A head coach. Mm-hmm. And he's got to hire somebody who has been around at the major college level and is a proven success. And to do that, he's going to need money. So we'll see what kind of salary pool ASU has available for the assistant coaches.
Yeah, there's some people that are waiting on that salary pool. John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. I had a couple of people that ran by me. Give me the last time an Oregon assistant coach took a head coaching job and had success. One of these guys was a UCLA Bruin. He says, you know, it all sounds great to bring home somebody that went to the school. We had to go through Carl Durrell. We had to go through Rick Neuheisel. You know, is there a point there of, has Oregon really proven that once you leave Oregon, or is it just, hey, they have the system in place with Uncle Phil, pick up the phone, get what you needed?
Well, Oregon's is certainly got the machinery to win consistently at a high level that doesn't exist anywhere else in the conference except for USC. Mm-hmm. So absolutely, that's going to be a big question. And the thing is, Oregon is, you know, their fans are not happy right now. I mean, Oregon lost the three games that Oregon needed to win, Georgia, Washington, and Oregon State. And in all three, you know, coaching was part of the problem, not necessarily Dillingham himself, mm-hmm. but that's an incredibly young staff with Dan Lanning and Tosh Lupoi on the defensive side and Kenny Dillingham on the offensive side. And they got out coached a whole bunch. So there, you got to have wise old veterans. Dillingham has got to be willing to surround himself with some coaches who know more than he does, right? He's got to be secure enough in himself and his position that he's willing to, you know, it's a little bit like team arrivals with Lincoln, right? You got to hire smart guys around you and let them do their jobs.
Yeah, and I think there's a couple of names, and I don't want to talk about them here because it's, you know, it's so early in the process, that are either sitting or former head coaches that could be on his staff, to your point, which I think would be smart. And by the way, you know, he's 32, so everybody's going to be older than him. And how's he going to handle that guy who's 48 saying, you don't know what you're talking about? You know,
yeah.
How's that 48-year-old going to handle being around somebody who's saying, this is how we do it at 32?
Right. Know. And how's he going to handle everything that goes into running a major college program, right? I mean, just knowing ASU and the Valley and understanding how, you know, 18-year-olds think that all that stuff is important. Don't get me wrong, but that's not the entirety of being a successful head coach.
Sure, sure. No, I mean, this media market this morning, I've had people texting me saying, why is it the sports talk stations are not talking about Kenny Dillingham? They're only talking about the Cardinals. That's been an issue for ASU forever. It's their media deal, the way it's set up. It's the way the Valley is. It's you're off the blip. Unless you win big, this is a whole different deal than being, you know, down at Auburn. It's a whole different deal than being in Memphis, whole different deal than being in Eugene, Oregon. This market is so busy that you've got to really do something special. And I thought he said some things yesterday, John, that will move the needle, but it's a very small fraction of the sports audience down here that cares right now. It is the diehard of diehards that are excited, and the rest of the market's like, eh, we'll see. Stanford. Your thought on David Shaw? We talked about him a couple weeks ago. Were you surprised that he decided to pull the ripcord?
I was not expecting it at 12:15 Pacific Saturday night. There's certainly been a lot of talk about whether Shaw was going to be back. I didn't think Stanford would ever get to the point where they would fire him. Now, to what extent was this completely voluntary on his part as opposed to the school nudging him a little bit? Mm-hmm. Probably a little bit of both. But you know, it has gone sideways there, very quickly. And after, you know, the decade of success, it has gone sideways very quickly. And part of it is completely on Shaw for recruiting, for handling, his staff and some other things. And part of it is just the way college football is working right now and how it's changed so much the last couple of years with NIL and the transfer portal and the fact that Stanford hasn't adjusted, right? They can't get transfers. They have this year, they had one graduate transfer, a guy from Oklahoma who applied to Stanford Graduate School on his own and then told the football program, hey, I got into Stanford Graduate School. They can't get undergraduates in. And that is, especially when you're making mistakes on recruiting, that is a big problem. And Stanford doesn't matter who they hire. They could hire Nick Saban until they figure out how they're going to exist in the transfer portal era. It's going to be a tough job.
Well, and I add to that, I've heard this, that the early signing period actually worked dead against Stanford because they don't know from an admissions standpoint for a kid in December versus they'll know in February. Is that true? I mean, this early period has really devastated what they can do in recruiting.
It has not helped them. On that front, the admissions has worked a little bit with them on expediting the process of evaluating transcripts, giving more weight to transcripts junior year, second half junior year, all that kind of thing. But it certainly doesn't help them. Mm-hmm. In fact, the whole process of acquiring personnel, for lack of a better term, has worked against them for many years. And it's, you know, until the school is willing to adjust, and I don't know that they are going to adjust enough, right? I mean, there's no hint that they're all of a sudden going to say, sure, you take as many transfers as you need. It's going to be tough.
Because they pay. I mean, David Shaw was making, was it north of $6 million?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But he, you know, David Shaw, four-time Pac-12 Coach of the Year, three-time conference champ, two-time Rose Bowl winner. Right. And yet, look where things are. It has deteriorated rapidly the last few years. And that span overlaps exactly with the transfer portal era.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time as always. Have a great week, John. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
There's John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. Check out his content on the website. Give him a follow on social media. The Wilner Canzano podcast is much needed out there in the space of college football around the Pac-12. They do a great job. Every week, we're back with more after this timeout. All right, thanks again to John Wilner. James Jones was promoted while we've been in today's show. And it's interesting. He's been given a new title, and it's one of those. So the title is, they promoted him to President of Basketball Operations and General Manager. I like James. I love James as a player. And I think he's really done a good job with the Suns. And, you know, I look at the situation down there to Sam Garvin being given the authority to give out raises. Sam's been there a long time. Did James have a feeler? Did James have a, you know what, guys? I need to be taken care of. I don't know. I mean, I can go down the list of guesses, people much smarter than me that are there every day that would have better insight. But just on the surface, end of November, team is, you know, where they're at, and it's a long ass season. And you've seen it the last couple of years that it doesn't matter what the product really looks like. You don't want it to be completely off the rails in October, November, December. You want to know what you have to work with. So in the January and up to the NBA trade deadline does come along, it's okay, we know we need to move some pieces. And then it's okay. I remember when Golden State last year was out of the playoffs around March 20th, I think it was. People were just, oh my gosh, the Warriors are terrible. And hours and reams of wasted space were spent on, and no, it's Steve Kerr's figured it out. The regular season just isn't that big of a deal. And that's now permeated its way into football, where August is fake football. September is not a good product. First part of October is not a good product. You get the trade deadline, better have a good product, better get things figured out, better finish strong down the stretch. I think that's becoming more of a norm in professional sports, at least in those two leagues. You know, the Tankapalooza in the NBA for Wayamba as the season progresses will be comical. There will be teams that right now look pretty good, and then all of a sudden, we got some G League guys. We're just kind of circling the drain. Like, what was that deal all about? Because you know, if you've been following it, that there are front office execs that are saying, that's a once-in-a-lifetime guy. That's Giannis coming along. That's LeBron coming along. But he's 7'4". If you have not seen Wayamba, then I would ask you to turn me off and just go click on a few views of him, because it's amazing at 7'4". This is not Sean Bradley 7'4", I might add. But good for James Jones, and it's stability within the organization. It's rewarding a general manager who's gotten the job done and done it right. Funny how that works. Doesn't matter what sport. You got a team that is competent. You have a team that has the fan base excited. You have a team that puts out a good product. You have a team that has a situation with its big man that I still believe, if the right deal were to come along after we get through January 15 and then it gets towards the NBA trade deadline, I would not be sitting here saying, oh my gosh, can you believe that the trade? No, I wouldn't say that. Look, most NBA rosters don't finish as they start in a season. And when you're playing some of these games and you look at some guys, and if you can get guys to really be straightforward with you, they will start down the path of, yeah, we played them and we noticed this tendency, we noticed that tendency. You know, what was it I saw today where Dallas is making some moves behind Luka? Yeah, probably playing too many minutes, you know? Probably playing too many minutes. And so they're going to make some moves on their roster. I still think that, you know, Mikal and Devin at times are playing too many minutes. Monty said after their game this last, was it the overtime game after Utah? Probably too many minutes on Devin. That's becoming a theme. Got to manage minutes. Doesn't matter if you lose a game in September, in December. Doesn't matter. And so I feel like, you know, what's going on there, that's some stability that's happening, and there needs to be more of that when it comes to the Valley sports scene. And so there you go. All right, I am done on this portion. We're going to head over to produce television now, and I'm going to put the Football AZ show together with our staff that does a tremendous job. I'm going to try to find an elf on the shelf. If you know where I can find an elf on the shelf, I think that this place needs it for the next few weeks. And there is going to be some people at an event this afternoon where Coach Dillingham is going to be at, and I'm going to go to it. Just seeing this now. So we'll get back to you on that. Brock Huard is going to be with us tomorrow. We're going to talk with Brock about Kenny Dillingham. I heard Brock do an Oregon game earlier this year where I thought he was Kenny's agent, in a good way. And I want to talk about that. Charlie Regal told me by phone earlier this morning that he will jump on the show tomorrow and give me an extended segment. So that'll be on tomorrow's show. We'll also have Fabs. So Fantasy Football Focus with Michael Fabiano. Again, this show, we do it and we have fun with it at 10:06 a.m. and then we spin it back around. It airs over and over and over. So you missed any part of this from today. You missed John Wilner. You missed my conversation that I relayed to you about Charlie Regal now joining the staff of Kenny Dillingham and much, much more. That will repeat here shortly. And we appreciate our partners. Our 12 partners make it happen, man. 12 of them. And they've been with us a while. They believe in what we do. All right. Have yourself a great day.